Well, bless God. Before I start tonight's message, I would like to share with you something that happened last Monday night when we were in Funabel Park ministering. There was a lady that came forward and asked for prayer. And she's in one of these churches that seem to be very much stuck in their ways. And her church has a very big problem with women that wear makeup, that wear any form of jewelry, and that wear pants. Apparently that's almost the unpardonable sin. And so she's been having a hard time in this church for quite a while, and she's often been in trouble, and she's often been on the red carpet because of the way that she dresses. And she came forward and she asked for prayer, and she said, please, can we pray for her? Because the last Sunday, her pastor called her forward and told her that the Lord had revealed to him that unless she changes her ways, the Lord will take her firstborn son. Who of you know that that's the biggest load of rubbish you've ever heard in your life? You don't even have to be spiritual to know that that oak was talking rubbish. Okay? Maybe they just painted the pulpit and he was sucking too much varnish while he was preaching. Because there was definitely something wrong. He did not hear from God. He did not hear from God. Ladies, I do believe that God wants you to respect your body. And definitely when you come to the house of the Lord, you need to be nicely dressed. Do not come with a mini skirt, because the church is not a place to flirt. You understand? But if you want to look good, look good. But firstly, look good for God, and secondly, look good for the other people out there. Is that all right? Okay, so I listened to this lady's story, and she actually said to me that from the Sunday, everything in her life has just been going wrong. It's like there's just problems, problems, problems all the time. She's feeling panicky, she's feeling nervous, she's all out of sorts, and there's definitely something wrong. So I said to her, come, let's pray. What does the Bible say about the tongue? The Bible says we must be very careful in the way that we speak to people and the stuff that we say, because you see, what we don't realize, what Satan realizes very well, is that life and death is in the power of your tongue. And the way that you use it, it will either produce fruit or it will produce the opposite of fruit. What is the opposite of fruit? Death, decay, destruction. And so, I said to her, I'm going to pray with you because I do believe that the words that were spoken over your life has cursed your life. And so we started to pray. And immediately this woman fell down on the floor and she started shaking and she started performing, and there was an evil spirit that started manifesting in her. Why was the spirit there? It was there because of words that somebody had spoken over her life. Probably not just from the one time when it was said that God would come and take her firstborn son, but maybe from all the other times that things were spoken over her. And you know what? I don't know what this lady is going to do, but I do believe that she needs to find a new church where people can respect her and love her. You see, we are not to judge one another. We are not to condemn one another. You know, with all due respect, if you were looking for Jesus when he was still on the earth, you used to find him with the most unsavory characters that you could think of. Pharisees, tax collectors. Some say that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute, even though that can't be proven. Jesus did cast 7 devils out of her, so she probably had some issues in life. And you know what? Jesus never judged any of them. When they brought a woman to Jesus that was caught in the act of adultery. Now you can think about that, just don't talk out loud. But she was caught in the act. And they were going to stone her. Which was probably the right thing to do from a law point of view. What did Jesus do? Did he pick up the first stone and did he throw it her? Or did he say something to this effect? Let you who have no sin cast the first stone. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. He did not come to judge, he did not come to belittle, and he did not come to enslave people with the law. The law is over, people, it's finished. The Bible says in the New Testament that the law was a curse. You know why the law is a curse? Because under the law, if you try and live your life under the law is always pointing a finger at you and saying guilty. 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 Who of you have done something in your life that you really felt guilty about? There is nothing worse in this world than feeling guilty, because it sits at the pit of your stomach, you feel nauseous, you have no strength, you have no power, you don't have the ability to do anything, and you wish you were dead. Because the weight of guilt is killing you. If we want people to live under the law, we are going to kill them with guilt. We are always going to be pointing fingers at them and telling them, do this, do that. You are so wrong. You got so many problems. Blah, blah, blah. I think I have shared this, but a while ago, we had a young lady come forward for prayer one night here at one of these meetings. She came for prayer and she said, please pray for me because I believe my life is cursed. I said to her, why do you believe that your life is cursed? She says, because my mother keeps on cursing me. So I asked her, how does your mother curse you? My mother always tells me that I'm useless. My mother says that I'm pathetic, that I'm going to go nowhere in life. I said to her, well, look, I have to believe that you are cursed, because every word that your mother has spoken along those lines is cursing your life. We prayed with her. She fell down on the floor and the demon began to scream out of her. You know what he said? He said, I will destroy this girl. I said, why will you destroy her? He says, because her mother has given me the right to do so by the words that she has spoken. We cast him out. She will not die, she will live. And she will testify to the grace and the glory of God. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that, people, please, the way we talk to people is very important. If I don't have anything good to say to this man, I should rather just zip, keep quiet. Because you know what? If my words are cursing this man, what do you think is waiting for me? Because I've been a tool in Satan's hand. Come on, just think about it. Jesus said, it is impossible for you that offense should not come, but woe to him through whom it comes. Woe to him through whom it comes. If you don't have something good to say to somebody, rather just don't say it. Because words have the power of life and death. I want to ask you a question. Who of you people that is here tonight, when you look at your lives, would say that there are definite areas in your life where you can do with some increase? For example, your love life. That's it. All the young people in front here, I want to see your hands. Who can do with increase financially? Now I want to see all your hands. Some of you must put both your hands up, and some of you must raise your toes as well. Your bank manager insists that you raise your toes. Who of you can do with increase in, let's just say, peace and harmony in the family? All right, the point that I'm trying to make is, when we look at it from this point of view, we all have to admit that there is probably some area of our life where, if we sit and we think about it, man, I really need some increase in this area of my life. I need more. What I have right now is not sufficient. Now you see, the thing is, some people need increase in health because they are sick and they've got infirmity. Some people need increase with peace because they are falling apart and they are full of anxiety and they are full of depression and full of panic. Some people need increase in their married life. Some people need increase in faith. I think we all need increase in faith. And some of us just need a really big increase in blessings in our life. Now I want to show you one of the scriptures in the Bible that deals specifically with increase. And I want you to understand how increase comes about in the kingdom of God. You see, in the world, if you want increase, you could probably go out and work very hard and maybe you'll get a bit of something coming in. Or you can go out and you can go and steal and you will get a bit of something coming in. But it might not be lasting. You understand what I'm saying? It might not be lasting, because we need God's favor. And God is ultimately our provider. And true increase, lasting increase, will only come through Him. Matthew chapter 13, verse 3 to 9. Then he told them many things in parables, and he said, a farmer went out to sow his seeds. As he was scattering the seeds, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places, where it did not have much soil. Yes, it sprang up quickly, but because the soil was too shallow, the sun came up, and the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no roots. Other seeds fell amongst the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, and still other seed fell on the good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Now he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, if you have ears tonight, listen carefully, because the Lord is going to speak to you about increase in your life. This passage is about a farmer that goes about the daily chores of farming. He goes out and he takes the seed and he begins to sow them. He begins to plant them so that he can have a crop. Nobody goes out and begins to sow without expecting a harvest. Because if you go out and you sow and you don't expect a harvest, you are wasting your time. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to waste my time in life. Do you? When you do something, you obviously want to do it well, and you want to do it in a way that it'll be beneficial to your life. If your boss is going to stop paying you at the end of the month, are you going to keep going to work? No. You want that harvest. We all do certain things because we are expecting a harvest to come back. Now, so the farmer goes out and he sows his seeds. Now, what normally happens when a farmer sows a seed? There is an incubation period, where there is a period of time before that seed will begin to grow. But ultimately, the seed will grow. And when the seed is grown, what does the farmer sit with? A massive increase based on the one little seed that he put into the ground. He can sit with up to 1,500 seeds in return. That's very good increase. Would you agree? That's very good increase. So now, there are two things that we have to consider in this parable. Let me just say a little something about parables. Jesus spoke in parables because when you teach somebody in parables, you use a story, a simple story, to bring about a complex spiritual truth. You can be all la-di-da and hoity-toity and use big words and confuse the heck out of everybody, but that's not the purpose of the kingdom of God. You see, Jesus himself made a statement and he said, unless you become as a little child, you will never enter my kingdom. What do children know about calculus? Huh? Nothing. What do children know about big five-syllable words? Nothing. What do children know about philosophy? Nothing. So the thing is, Jesus did not want to teach people in a way that they sit there and they go, huh? Jesus wanted to reach people and connect with people in a way that they would say, man, that's so easy. Why did I never see that before? And so that is why he tells them parables. Because when you share a complex spiritual truth through a parable, that's generally what happens to people. They say, man, why didn't I see it that way? Now there's two things that we have to consider when we want to understand what this parable is really about. Number one is that there is a sower and there are seeds. Who is the sower? The sower is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What are the seeds? The seeds are the Word of God that are being sown. And where must they be sown? Into the life of man. You see, you and I, we are the ground. The one that sows is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The thing that he wants to sow is his Word. Okay. So Jesus sows the Word of God. So what we must understand is that we need the Word of God to be sown into our life And it can only be sown into our life through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And only when Jesus sows the word into my life, can there be increase through that medium in my life. Now think about this. Jesus made a statement and he said, and there will be an increase, sometimes 100-fold, sometimes 60-fold, sometimes 30-fold. Who of you have got policies with Old Mutual? What are the odds that Old Mutual is going to give you 100-fold return? 100-fold, 100 times. Do you think that's going to happen? Who's got a policy with Sanlam? What is the chances that Sanlam is going to give you 60-fold, 60 times return? You see, my friend, I want you to understand something. You can run around through all over this world. Unless you are doing something seriously below, what, that's not above board. You cannot get returns like that. It's just impossible. Somebody would have to give you something for free and you'd have to sell it for bombs to get 100-fold return. But the thing is, God's word makes it very clear that if we allow the word of God to work the way that it is supposed to work, we have the right to have an expectation of 100-fold increase, and it will be there. You see, God's not a man that he should lie. God's not lying about these things. There is a 100-fold return waiting for some of you. There is a 60-fold return waiting for some of you. There is a 30-fold return waiting for some of you. And chances are that we can all have the 100-fold return if we follow the word of God and we honor God. The one who must sow is Jesus Christ. A lot of people have need in their life, whether it be marital, whether it be emotional, whether it be spiritual, whether it be physical, whether it be money, whether it be in relationships. And what does the average person do when they have needs like this? Well, you see, the first thing that we do is we exhaust all the worldly options. We go to the doctor, we go to the spiritualist, some people go to the medium, some people go to the fortune teller, other people go to some other worldly institution. Please tell me, what can I do? How can I change my life? How can I get my wife back? How can I get my children to begin to respect me? How can I begin to love myself? You can run after the world and the things of this world, but the world cannot give you what Jesus can. He's the only one that can give you the things that will change your life. Matthew 13, verse 37. He answered them, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Your increase will not come through positive thinking, fortune telling. And your increase will not come from copying other people. We often make that mistake. You look at your life and you say, man, my life is the pits. I'm going nowhere fast. Nothing that I do wants to work. Ah, but everything works out for my cousin. Her life is perfect. She's got a good husband. She's got a good job. Her children respect her. She's got good health. She's got a lot of money. Her house is full of all the nicest things that you can think of. Maybe if I become like her, maybe if I do the things that she does, maybe then my life will turn around and I will be blessed. Maybe if I hang around the same people that she does, maybe then something will happen for me. My friend, let me explain something to you, and I want you to remember this for the rest of your life. You are not your cousin. You are not me. You are not your brother. And the worst thing that you can do in this life is try and copycat somebody else's life. Because God put you on this earth for a totally different reason than what He put them on this earth for. And maybe, just maybe, they have discovered a little bit about who they really are. Maybe, just maybe, they have discovered some of the truths hidden in the Word of God, and they are living their life according to it. And that is why they have God's favor, and that is why they are blessed. They are not blessed because of the way they sit. They are not blessed because of the way they talk. They are not blessed because of things they do. God blesses because He gives favor And the only way to get the favor of God is to obey God and to get onto the right path, the path that He has for you. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is, "I know the plans I have for you," says the Lord. "Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and to give you a future." Now, the word prosperity and the word increase run side by side, because they're both talking about the same thing. So here's what God says about you. "I know the plans I have for you," says the Lord. "Plans to prosper you, to give you a hope, to give you a future." Is his future the same as his future? Can they ever have the same future? Even if they were identical twins, life for both of them would be different. You see, when I was born, God knit me together in my mother's womb, and He put certain things into me that makes me Rion. That's who I am. And for me to try and be Peter, or to try and be John, or to try and be something else, is like a BMW trying to act like a Golf. It's just not going to work. And you can take a Golf badge and you can put it on your BMW and tell everybody that it's a Golf, but nobody's going to believe you. Yeah, maybe the car is more valuable now with a new badge on, but that's all. I'm only joking, all right? If you drive a BMW, don't hit me. So the thing is, we can't try and be what we aren't. And that's one of the biggest problems that most people in this world have. They are always trying to be something that God never called them to be. They are trying to be who they think the world wants them to be. No, 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 don't try and be somebody else. Don't try and copycat what other people do. Find out who you are. If you don't have a clue right now who you are, you begin to pray and you say, "Lord, show me who you want me to be." Stop looking in the magazines and reading what the stars are doing and think if you do that, stardom will come for you. No, you're just going to get confused, man. You are going to confuse the gifting and the calling that is inside of you. Matthew chapter 13, verse 23. "But the one who received the seed that fell on the good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. Now that man will produce a crop yielding 100 or 60 or even 30 times more than what was sown." So who is the person that gets the increase in their life? Who is the person that can turn around and say, "Man, look at the blessings that I've got"? Listen carefully. The one who received the seed that fell on the good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. The Bible is telling you straight now that if you desire increase in your life, there are two things that should be very high on your priority list right now. Number one is, you have to hear the Word of God. Because without the Word of God, there can be no lasting increase. My friend, people in the world can have money, but it means nothing to them. What good is it if you have money, but your soul is falling apart? What good is it if you have financial, let's just say, blessing, but your marriage is falling apart? What we need is the complete and the total blessing of God upon our life. And if you want that, the Bible says the first thing that you must do is you must hear the Word of God. Allow it to enter you. How does the Word of God enter you? Well, right now, you are sitting and you are listening to the Word of God. So right now, there is the potential for increase coming into your life. We hear it through preaching. We receive it when we spend time in the Bible, when we study the Word of God, when we read it. And then secondly, the Bible says, you also have to understand it. In other words, you must allow it to enter your heart. The Word of God cannot produce fruit when it is in your mind. There are a lot of people that try and intellectualize the Bible. They try and argue about things, they try and reason about things, blah blah, yakety smackety. I see it this way and I don't see it that way. Look, I'm not interested in that rubbish. Take the Word of God, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, like Jesus spoke in parables because He wanted the Word to make sense to people. Because what use is it if you attend a place and you hear the Word of God and you walk out there and you say, man, what were they talking about? What happened there? I'll never forget, I went to pray for a woman once. She was also part of some weird church where everybody was an apostle and everybody was a prophet and all of this stuff. And somebody had prophesied over her life that she was going to be an apostle or a prophet or a this or a that. She had lots of problems in her life. And I spoke to them for a short period of time, and it didn't take a brain surgeon to figure out that this woman had no spiritual maturity whatsoever. She knew hardly anything about the Bible. We spoke about so many things, and she never understood anything about the Bible. And then I said to a lady, I think I understand what your problem is. You want God to use you as an apostle. You want God to use you as a prophet, which means you're going to be flying pretty high in the kingdom. But you've got nothing underneath you to sustain you with. You know, when you fly very high and the wheels come off, you're going to fall very high if you don't have a support structure. And that was this woman's problem. She wanted to be something big in the kingdom, but she didn't even know the Word. How can God give her increase until she begins to honor the Word of God and even just understand the basics of the kingdom of God? Now, we are talking about the Word being sown into your heart so that it makes sense to you, so that it can begin to change your life. Now, I want to remind you of something. Unfortunately, we are not only exposed to the Word of God, we are also exposed to a lot of other things out there in this world. Are you with me? Now, if the Word of God is seed, good seed, that is being sown into your heart, then obviously, there is not only good seed that can come into my heart, there is also other types of seed that can come into my heart. And this is what we must be very careful of. You see, your heart is like a farmer's field. That farmer must be very careful what he allows to grow in his field where he sows his crops. Because the thing that he's after is fruit, multiplication, a good harvest. Let's just put it this way. If you plant corn, you want a lot of corn. If you plant wheat, you want a lot of wheat. If you plant peaches, you want a lot of peaches. That's why you're doing the work, right? Now, let's put it this way. What if you plant a lot, but you don't cultivate the soil? You don't pull out the weeds? Nobody has ever had to water a weed. Come on, do you ever stand in your garden and make sure that that weed is cultivated? Do you water it? Do you give it compost? No, you don't do nothing to it, and it grows like anything. You see, that's the way weeds are. You don't have to give them no attention whatsoever. Ach, mooi ou kaki bossie. Ach, asseblief nou, groei nou vir my man. Asseblief nou. Huh? You can forget about them and you will have a bumper crop of weed. But you plant the nice things and you better look after them, because otherwise they don't grow. And that's why the farmer has to be very careful. Because, you see, the good seed that has gone into the soil needs nourishment. It needs nutrients from the soil. But the weed that's growing right next to it also needs the same stuff. And the weed grows 10 times faster. So what's going to happen to the good seed in the ground? If you didn't pull out the weeds, what's going to happen to the good seed? It's not going to grow. Chances are a lot of it's going to stay in the ground and never sprout, because there won't be enough nourishment. There won't be enough sustenance for it to grow at all. You see, farmers generally spend an enormous amount of time and money to prepare the soil before they will put the first seed into the ground. They will use pesticides. They will send the laborers into the fields and they will pull by hand every stupid thing that's growing there that shouldn't be there. Why? So that when the time comes that he puts the real good seed into the soil, he knows it's got every chance necessary for it to grow successfully and give him what he wants. Increase. That's why he's doing what he's doing. Farmers are not only in the business of growing good crops, they are also in the business of preventing the wrong thing from growing. Because if he didn't do that, he would have no crop. Just like the farmer, you and I are responsible to maintain the field of our hearts and get rid of the weeds and the rubbish that is going to keep the good seed that enters us from growing. Now, I want to say something about seed. I don't have a figure, but there's probably thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions of different types of seed in this world. Because every plant that grows, somewhere along the line, has grown from a seed. Do you understand? Now, if we think about it, you get many different types of seeds. You get the type of seeds that we can eat, like millets, like wheat. Then you get other types of seed that will grow medicinal plants. That when we sort of spend a bit of time with them and take them to some laboratory, it can be turned into medicine, which can have healing qualities, which will enhance your life. Do you understand? Then we get other different types of trees that seed that will produce a tree. And we can use that tree to build with. We can use that tree for firewood. So it can produce something that we need. And it can produce shade and it can produce protection. So we get food. We get health. We get protection from seeds after they've grown. And the one thing that we must never forget. If God was tomorrow to do this, boom, and he was to take away every type of seed in this world, within a couple of weeks we would all be dead. Because you see, the animals that we eat have to eat something that came from a seed. And you and I need to eat something that comes from a seed. There is nothing that you have in your kitchen that did not from some location, somewhere, come from a seed. Take them all away and you got nothing. Now, in the same way, I'm trying to draw a parallel between what Jesus says, the Word of God is a seed, and the seeds out there in this world. In the same way that we get certain seeds that will bring about healing, in the Word of God, there is healing. In the same way that certain seeds can enhance your life, the Word of God will enhance your life. In the same way that certain seeds will produce nourishment, the Word of God will produce nourishment. So what I'm trying to say is, just like there is a seed for every certain thing that you might need in this world, so there is a seed in the Word. For every problem that you're facing right now, for every crisis that you're going through right now, for every pain and sickness that is in your body right now, for every devil that is afflicting you right now, there is a seed in the Word that can sort it out. If that seed is allowed to grow, and if it is allowed to produce fruit in your life, it'll instantly give you victory over the rubbish that you're battling with right now. So, why does Jesus say we got to listen to the Word and understand the Word? Because that is how Jesus the farmer is sowing the seed of healing into his life. That is how Jesus the farmer is sowing the seed that will give her peace instead of confusion. That is how Jesus the farmer is putting seed into his life that will bring restoration between him and his daughter if they might not be speaking for some stupid reason. When we spend time in the Word, Jesus is sowing, and He is sowing His Word. Now, seed need a couple of things. Number one, they need good soil. Number two, they need plenty of water. Number three, they need sunlight. Jesus spoke about the good soil. Well, you cannot have good soil if your soil is littered with rocks, if your soil is littered with thorns, if your soil is littered with weeds. What do you have to do? You have to go and work at the soil and you have to clean it. Now, what is the good soil? The good soil is my heart. All right? Where does Jesus want to sow the seed? Into your heart. Now, there's a very good possibility that as you are sitting here tonight, if you could see the field that Jesus is trying to sow into, you're going to say to yourself, man, nothing's going to grow there. And whose fault is that? Well, it's yours and mine. Why? Because we've allowed a lot of rubbish into our hearts. And I'm going to explain to you now how we've done that. There are three main areas how weeds will come into my heart. How the type of stuff that will block the growth of God's Word have come into my heart. How do they come in? Number one, through my eyes. The type of things that I look at. You know, the Bible says, well, I don't know if the Bible really says it, but it is often said that the eyes are the windows to the soul. And the soul is the heart. So the things that I look at go directly into my heart. Now, what are the type of things that you and I look at? Well, right now I'm looking at you. But I could easily be looking at something else. I could be sitting in front of a computer logging on to the latest porno site. Is that sowing good seed into my life, or is that sowing bad stuff into my life? That is the type of stuff that will crush the good seed of the Word of God that comes into my life. The type of movies that we watch, the type of things that we look at. When I look at a woman with lust, and I'm trying to see, you know, can I maybe see under that short little skirt, am I sowing something good into my life, or am I sowing something bad? It's a no-brainer. What's coming in through my eye is littering the field that Jesus wants to sow on. And even if I sit in church and I'm listening to the message, chances are that what is coming in will not grow. It will not produce fruit. It will not give me a harvest because it cannot grow between the rocks and the thorns and the thistles that I've allowed to come in. So what I'm saying is we have to, as children of God, be very careful what we look at. Because what we look at leaves a deposit in my heart. The second place that they come from is my ears. What are you listening to? If you like to sit and listen to the latest gossip, you just love a nice juicy story. Is gossip something good or is it something bad? Come on, you oaks must work with me. Is gossip good or bad? Huh? Gossip is bad. So am I sowing something good in my heart, or am I allowing something bad to come in that is coming in for one purpose only, to crush the good seed in my heart? I'm listening to something bad. Something evil is going to come into my heart. Gossip, slander, lies, negativity, foul language, all of that type of stuff. Whether we like it or not, it is leaving a deposit in my heart. You know what? This is maybe more for the men than for the women. With all due respect, women like the gossip thing more and men like the bad language thing more. Although I have seen some exceptions to both rules. All right? Ladies, the worst thing that you can do is run from one place to another place like the local post office and just get all the nice juicy tidbits. Because it pleases your flesh, but it destroys your soul. Because it is destroying the field that Jesus wants to sow onto. Men, I'm speaking to you. It is normally the men that huddle together and they like to tell the latest dirty joke. And the more below the belt it is, the better. Because that's what gets the guys to really laugh. But my friend, please, As you are standing there in that little group and everybody's laughing at your jokes, or you laughing with these other people telling those jokes, just remember something. You've just killed another seed. You've just destroyed all the growth that you've been trying to get. And remember, you don't know what Jesus is busy growing in there. He might be growing healing for your body, and you've killed it. He might be growing restoration for your marriage, and you've killed it. He might have been growing some respect that your children don't have for you, and you've killed it. Why? Because you allow filth to come in through your ears, and you let it clutter up your field. And then the last place that it comes from is our thought life. You see, the thing is, you can't blame other people for your thoughts. They are your thoughts. Now, what does the average person think of? Well, you know, we think a lot about our jobs, and that's good, because if you don't do a good job, you'll get fired. We obviously think a bit of about our life, and we think about our future, but we also think other things. We think like, man, I really hate that person. I wish ek wens ek kry 'n kramp. Man, I just can't stand that person. I just wish they would disappear out of my life. I want what that person has got. Why doesn't God give me what that person has got? What are we talking about? Bitterness. Envy. Coveting. A lot of people, their thought life is extremely negative. Ah, nothing's going to happen for me. Nobody cares for me. Nobody loves me. I'm so useless. I'm so pathetic. I'm so worthless. What are you sowing onto the field of your heart? That is serious thorns, my friend. Jesus doesn't even want to walk there and sow nothing, because he's going to just, his feet will not survive. We have to guard what goes on in our thought life. Because what we think about, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he shall be. If I am negative in my mindset, I will be negative in my heart, then my whole life will become negative. If I am full of anger in my thought life, it'll filter down into my heart, and anger will consume my whole life. If I'm full of jealousy, look at what she's got. Why haven't I got that? Look at what that one's got. I want that. That's jealousy. Jealousy will find its way into my heart, and it will kill off the word of God that is in my heart. Proverbs 4 verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Now, seed need plenty of water. If you want a seed to grow and you don't water it, it will not grow. Now, if we look at the spiritual seed that God is sowing into our lives, where will that get water? Water comes through the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is called the living water of God. If you do not have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you're going to seriously battle to get any growth out of your life. And let me just say this, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Bible calls him our helper. Jesus said, if I do not go to be with the Father, the Holy Spirit cannot come to be with you. The Holy Spirit wants to have a relationship with you. The Holy Spirit wants to help you with your weakness. He wants to help you with the things that you're battling with. And you can talk to Him. And you can say to Him, Holy Spirit, please, I'm weak in this area. I've tried 100 times to change. Please come and help me. Please be strong in me when I am weak. You need Him. You need the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon your life. You see, the Word of God can only become alive when the Holy Spirit is at work in my life. Secondly, every seed needs sunlight. Who of you have ever gone down into a cave? Have you gone down into a cave? Which cave did you go into? The Kango Caves? Were you there? Did you see any plants grow in there? Alright, we'll have to take it on his authority. Because he's a nature... What do you call yourself? Natuurbewaarder. He's a nature conservationist. So he's quite... He's probably the most qualified person right here to talk about this stuff. Not me. But I'm doing my best. He says when he went down into the caves, he did not see nothing. You saw nothing green, did you? Unless the oak before you was sick. But I'm trusting that he wasn't. All right, no green stuff. Why was there no green stuff in a cave? Because most caves have got lots of water. Because there's an absence of sunlight. You can't get stuff to grow if there is no sunlight. It's just a fact of life. And the seed in your heart also needs light. Where is it going to get the light? Ephesians chapter 5 verse 11. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything will be exposed by the light when it becomes visible. For it is the light that makes everything visible. You see, the opposite to light is darkness. The more I mess around with the things of darkness, the more I mess around with the things of Satan, the more I hang around things like anger and hatred and jealousy, not even talking about the occult and witchcraft and sorcery and cursing people and putting spells on people and going to fortune tellers and psychics, you destroy any light that is in you. That is you falling into a serious deep pit, and nothing will grow there. 1 John 5 verse 5 to 8. This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in the darkness, we do not live by the truth and we are liars. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, the Son of God, will purify us from all sin. You cannot have darkness and light together. If you want the seed in your heart to begin to grow, you've got to start doing the things of the kingdom of God. You've got to spend time with God. You've got to get yourself out of this worldly rubbish that we often fall into. Turn your back on all the rubbish that is out there and begin to do the things that will bring God into your life. Because when God is in your life, his light will shine and the seed will grow. The last thing that seeds need is they need time. The funny thing about a seed is you don't always know exactly how long it takes before a different seed will pop and grow. You see, in nature, there are many different types of seeds, and some of them will grow virtually overnight, and some of them might take a year before they grow, and some of them might take 10 years before they grow. Some of them wait for a disaster like a felt fire or something before they will actually grow. Some of them wait for a big drought, and only after the drought is broken, they will break through the ground. You don't know what Jesus has sown into your heart, and you don't know how long it's going to take for this thing to begin to grow. But you've got to wait for it. You've got to persevere. Matthew 13, verse 24 to 28. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed into his field. But while everyone was sleeping, the enemy came and sowed weeds amongst the wheat, and then he went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed into your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servant asked him, "Do you want us to pull them out?" This parable gives us a very good idea of what Satan wants to do to your field. After Jesus has sown the good seed, the enemy wants to come, and through what you see and what you hear and what you think and what you're exposed to, he wants to come and sow thorns into your field. Why? Because instead of 100%, now you're going to go down to maybe 5% if you're lucky. And that's not God's heart for you. God wants to give you 100. Amen. I want you to understand something. The Bible makes it very plain that Satan is out to try and get you. He's out to try and expose you to the type of things where he will be allowed to sow into your field. Jesus is the only one that should be sowing in your field, not Satan. But if you hang around the wrong places, if you hang around the wrong people, let's talk about people. My friend, people will influence your life, whether you like it or not. If you are hanging around people every day that just curse and swear and use the name of the Lord in vain and talk the biggest load of rubbish all the time, what do you think is coming into your heart? Not good stuff. If you hang around negative people all the time, they've got nothing good to say about nothing. Oh, this country's the pits. Everything's falling apart. Nothing's ever going to come right. Nobody cares for us. What are they sowing into your heart? Man, serious negativity. And the one thing that I've learned is if you spend enough time with a negative person, you become just as negative as they are. This is a tough one to chew on. But there might be some of you here tonight that need new friends. Because the state of your heart has a lot to do with the friends that you hang around with. And you know what? If you want to serve God, and you want to be an effective child of God, that means that you're going to have to make some sacrifices. And sometimes you might have to sacrifice some people in your life, especially if they don't want to change. You see, the funny thing is, I can't make this man change even if I want to. You can't get a guy saved when you put a 38 against his head and you say, "Drive, braai, broer." Even if he says, "Yes, yes, I'm sorry," God will not honor that because he didn't decide to do it. He was manipulated into doing it. So it's useless. If he doesn't want to change, he doesn't want to change. Yes, I can still pray for him, but maybe I need to leave him and move on with my life. Maybe you got friends and every time you go over there, with the type of things that happens there, you and your wife just fight like cat and dog. Because you know when you go and visit him, you drink like a fish. And when you get drunk, you say things that you shouldn't say, and there's always fight, 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 fight. If you want to honor God, if you want to serve God, you've got to stop doing that. If your friend won't stop drinking, you need to stop going there. And maybe you need some new and better friends in your life. You see, the thing, a friend is somebody that looks out for you. Somebody that always comes between you and your wife is not looking out for you. Satan's using them to bring about your downfall. It's not always another woman that breaks up a marriage. Sometimes it's another man that keeps on taking his buddy down the wrong roads. And after a while, the woman says, "I can't live like this anymore." And you know what? It cuts both ways. Sometimes it's you ladies that's friends with some other ladies that keeps taking you down to the wrong places and to the wrong path, and eventually your husband says, "Now you know what, I can't live like this anymore." Should you allow that? No. You should know better. Because the type of people that you hang around with will leave a deposit in your heart. And if they are not a good godly influence upon your life, they are going to bring a lot of death, decay and destruction into your life. Don't tell me that the devil's not after you. The Bible says he is. He wants to sow rubbish into your heart. Because when he sows rubbish into your heart, he gets power over your life. And Jesus is trying to give you power by sowing good things into your life. What are the things that rob us? There were four types of soil. And then I'm finished. When the sower, Jesus, sows his seed, there is four different places where the seed can fall. Now, what are the four things representing? What do the four things represent? The path. Some fell on the path, and the birds came and they picked it up. The path is hard, unresponsive soil that resists the seed from entering. It is representative of a type of person that rejects the word of God for his life. In other words, he receives the word, but he won't allow it to come in. You might be sitting here tonight listening to the word and you say, "Nah, you know what, I don't think it works like that. Nah, you know what, I don't have to change. Nah, God must just accept me the way I am, otherwise I'm not interested." Well, you see, then you are being the path. Because you receive it, but you won't allow it to enter your heart. And there are many people. They will read things in the Bible and then, that's Old Testament. That doesn't work. No, God didn't mean it that way. Who made you an expert? There's a lot of things in the Bible that you don't have to interpret. It just says, this is the way it is. The Bible says, you shall not covet. You don't covet. The Bible says, you shall not lie. It's not debatable. You shouldn't lie. The Bible says, you bloody mustn't steal. Don't steal. Honor your father and your mother. Should you honor your father and your mother? Yes, you should. Definitely you should. And if you are not doing these things, then you are being the path. Because you know it's supposed to be that way. But you say to yourself, ach, what's the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen is there will never be any growth in your life whatsoever. Because without Jesus, there's no growth. Know-it-alls fall in this category. I've met many of them. I don't even know why some of them come to church, because you can't teach them nothing. No matter what you tell them, they've got their own interpretation of, oh, but it's not like that, it's like this. No, it doesn't work like that, it works like... You have to have a teachable spirit. Nobody knows everything. And when the Word of God talks to you about something, listen to God and change your life. Then, some of the seed fell on the rocks. The Bible says the seed did come up, but they could not grow, because when the sun came out, they died because they were shallow soil and the roots could not go deep. These are people that are easily excited by the Word. Yeah, man, I heard such a good sermon tonight. This is wonderful. Man, this is going to change my life. They're all excited about the Word. But they lack the ability to persevere. Tonight you listen to the Word and you say, man, I'm going to change this and I'm going to change that and I'm going to do this. You're not rejecting the Word. You're excited about it. You're happy about it. But when you try and implement it and you implement it and you find that it's a bit more difficult than what you thought, you say, ah, I tried, it didn't work. And there's a lot of people that do that. It's hard work, my friend, being a child of God. And Paul said, you've got to run the race until you get to the end. I don't know about you, but I was not really cut out for long distance running at school. I was not too bad over the 100 meters, but if they wanted to kill me, then they must make me run the 1,500. It was hard work for me to get to the finish line. And you know what? It's hard work for me to try and get to the finish line of my life. In other words, to get to the goal that God has set before me. Because there's a lot of stuff on the side that, you know, this looks, I mean, I don't want to go to church tonight. For goodness sakes, man, the Bulls are playing the Cats, or the, who's playing tonight? The Lions are playing the Lions, yeah. I should maybe just be there. I'm not talking about once doing that. I'm talking about that's your lifestyle. When something else comes, ah, I'll rather do this. Nah, I'll rather do that. Yes, there was a time that you were excited about God. You were excited about the world. Now you just couldn't give a care less. That is the rocks. The thorns. The thorns is the type of person that listens to the Word, but his focus isn't really there. And the reason why he's not focusing on the Word is because he's caught up in all the worries and all the anxiety and all the fears and all the tribulation and all the problems around him in this world. And that's happened to many of you. How often don't you go to church and you sit there and you start off listening and then, man, how am I going to fix the car's engine? Where am I going to get another piston for that car? How am I going to get my wife to stop riding on the clutch, man? You know, I've got to get this out of her. And you start worrying about other things. And then the Word cannot enter you. And then, of course, you get worry warts that walk into the church worrying about stuff and walk out of the church worrying about stuff. And it's unfortunately very difficult for the Word to come in there because your mind is so preoccupied with worries that you can't allow the Word to enter anyway. What do you do if you want to secure God's increase? Number one, do what every farmer would do. Get rid of the weeds in your garden. In other words, start looking at your heart and say, what is in my heart that shouldn't be there? Oh, there's lust. I better get rid of it. Oh, there's unforgiveness. I better get rid of it. There's bitterness about my past. Now, I better get rid of it. I'm full of fear and I worry a lot. Well, I better change. Because all of that stuff is killing your seed. Realize the importance of the Word of God in every area of your life. You don't know what Jesus is sowing into tonight. But how many things are you praying about? Well, the average person is probably praying about at least 10 different things in their life. Praying about finance, praying about relationships, praying about peace, praying about the country. You don't know what Jesus just sowed into tonight. He might have sown into every single one of them. But you've got to receive it. And you've got to let it grow. Spend time in the Word of God and know that by doing this, you are allowing Jesus to sow seed that will produce a wonderful harvest when you need it. And then, very important, keep a watchful eye for the enemy because he wants to steal your harvest and he wants to sow weeds. When you get to the office and Tani Aggie comes running up to you and you can almost see by the whole vibe she's very excited because she's got a nice juicy thing to tell you about Mkosi or something else. You've got to make the decision whether you're going to listen to that rubbish and defile your heart or say to her, Tani Virginia, sorry, I'd rather not listen, man. You know, that stuff gives me spiritual indigestion. I don't need it. You are not another person's dustbin that they can come and dump all their rubbish in your heart. You've got to start saying no. If a pity comes running up to you and you can see by the glint in his eyes that he's heard another dirty joke, just listen up, pity, please, man. I've converted and I've repented and I don't need that rubbish in my life. Please, man. Please. I don't want to hear. And then lastly, don't just hear the Word of God, live your life according to it. Amen. Who have you learned something tonight? Well, the good news that I have for you is if you've learned something tonight, then Jesus has sown something into your heart. Now, you've got to make sure that that which was sown will get the opportunity to grow. That I can't do for you. That you've got to do for yourself. Give it water. Give it sunlight. And clear the field. Amen. Let us pray together. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we want to thank you that your word is really very simple when we get down to it. And Lord, I know that it is your heart that we understand the scriptures because when we understand it, what you've sown into our lives will grow and there will be a wonderful harvest. Lord, this is your promise in the word. There is a 30, 60, and 100% increase waiting for everybody that is here tonight. Some of them need that increase financially. Some of them need that increase in their marriage. Some of them need that increase at the workplace where for the last 10 years they've always been skipped. They need some favor. They need people to look at them in a different way. Lord, some of them need this increase in a family situation where things just aren't right. Father, you know where they need it. I pray for you, and I pray for them, that you would have mercy on them. Lord, as they are sitting here, I know that the Holy Spirit is in this place. Holy Spirit, please let your water, your living water, flow into that field of their heart. Please, Holy Spirit, nourish that little seed. Nourish it and give it some godly attention so that it can grow and begin to produce fruit. Father God, you are the light. We worshiped you tonight in spirit and in truth. We've built you a throne. We declare that you are the Alpha, the Omega, the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the Great I Am. And Lord, without you, what are we? We are nothing. Heavenly Father, may your presence and the light of God just shine into their hearts and give nourishment and sustenance and power to the word within them. And I thank you for all of this now. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Bless God.